I'm glad to be here. I'm blessed and highly favored. My name is Kent. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm celebrating recovery over drug and alcohol addiction. That's good. You guys are doing good. Thank you all for being here. If you're new or have never heard a testimony, I'm so glad you're here. And I hope that something in what I share you will relate to and be of help. I really appreciate the opportunity that Paul, the ministry leader here, has given me. I'm the Northwest Celebrate Recovery Inside Regional Lead, and the Northwest region, CRI region, is Alaska, Washington, Oregon, Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. Yeah. My lovely wife, Jenny, and she's right here, and I, we actually flew over to Boise here just a couple weeks ago, so it's pretty exciting. A new chapter. And also, I want to mention, while I'm here and I'm thinking of it, in the back there are some flyers that look like this. This is our national director for Celebrate Recovery Inside. Do anybody know Danny Duchesne or heard about him in your travels and whatnot? And Danny Duchesne is going to be down at Tillamook on this month, October 29th, which is a Sunday. And he will be at the Tillamook Nazarene Church twice a year. The pastors there give David Westmark the ability to have a Celebrate Recovery Sunday. And he takes the two services there on Sunday morning and has testimonies and speakers, and he's having Danny Duchesne in. So if you'd like to come and hear Danny talk, that's this month down in Tillamook. We're actually going to be going down the day before on Saturday, and if you're coming down and you're going to spend the night, let me know. My number's down there, because we probably thought we'd get together and have some sort of a dinner or something, you know, Saturday night. But anyway, thank you for that aside. For those of you who don't know, Rolling Hills CR has recently made a very generous donation of CR materials that CRI needed to offer our amazing program in the correctional facilities in the state of Oregon. Thank you very much. Paul was showing you the certificate, and we just wanted to let Paul and Carolyn, Lou, know just how appreciative we are for that. This is very timely and very needed. Currently, well, there's a lot of meetings, but currently we're in 9 of the 14 prisons in the state of Oregon with Celebrate Recovery. Yeah. We have, right over here in Wilsonville at the women's prison, we have 3 Celebrate Recoveries that operate inside of that prison every week. So we presented Paul with a certificate at the CRI Quarterly last Saturday. We had over 100 people join us, and you're all welcome. The next one will be on January 27th. Paul and Carolyn Liu made this donation possible, and Oregon CR Inside volunteers are very grateful. Later, I'll talk briefly about the Celebrate Recovery groups inside of Oregon's prisons and jails and helping formerly incarcerated men and women join our community CR groups, what we call reentry. By the way, anybody whose name I use in my testimony has given me permission to do so. Also, in CR, we read our pre-approved testimony, so we are accountable to safe boundaries by, you know, just reading what we've written. And Paul just went over it with a fine-tooth comb, I heard, so I think we're good. I was born in Chicago to a newly married mom and dad, and around age 2, we moved to Frankfort, Kentucky, and then about age 4, we moved to Cooperstown, North Dakota, and onto my mom's family farm where she'd grown up. And I always got to ask, because there's usually just a whole scat of people that have been to Cooperstown. Anybody here? Seriously. There's one right there. I know she went because I took her. This is Cooperstown. You know how water says this is I'm Waters, this is my world? Well, that's kind of like when we went to Cooperstown. I would grow up in North Dakota, graduating high school in Bismarck, and then a year of college at the University of North Dakota. During that first year of college, my family moved out to Portland, and later I followed. Excuse me, after managing to flunk out. This would set the stage for my remaining higher education. At PCC, the U of O, Portland State University, the emphasis on higher. At PSU, I remember showing up one morning to take a final exam. Unfortunately, I'd started drinking early that day, and I was too drunk to find the room it was being held in. For several years, I'd start classes each time strong with the best of intentions, but my focus would always change along the way to partying, girls, goofing off, and of course, getting high. Yeah. I'd started drinking in my sophomore year of high school, at first every once in a while, and then every weekend. My first year of college at the University of North Dakota, I joined a fraternity because they had serious drinking parties, and after arriving in Portland, I'd add drugs to the mix. Soon my lifestyle revolved around daily drinking and or using drugs. This was my lifestyle for the next 15 years. So how did I end up this way? You know, after growing up in a nurturing family where my mom and dad didn't drink, use drugs, cheat on each other, or abuse as kids. How did a smart guy who'd been raised in a great home end up wandering around PSU drunk, pretending to be a serious student? For years, I'd carry marijuana with me everywhere, sometimes other drugs. Most days, there was a pint of whiskey under my car seat. I was always high. The question was not whether I was high, but how high and on what. In the book of Isaiah, I found this verse, "Woe to those who rise early in the morning to run after their drinks, and who stay up late at night till they are inflamed with wine." By the late 70s, I'd been experiencing the woe promised in this verse for years. In the beginning, it had all seemed fun and games. You know, drinking, getting high, partying, cruising around, having immoral relationships. I was always chasing after having fun, doing whatever I wanted. And I had an arrogant attitude, fueled by my pride and fear. Like a coin with pride on one side and fear on the other, my days were always determined by a flip of that coin. Truthfully, I became one emotionally and spiritually sick, lonely, and confused guy. I had a hard heart and a deceitful mind. I'd end up hating everything and everybody, including myself, years before God brought me to my knees and rescued me. Now, I was raised in a Christian faith. Mom and Dad were lifelong Christians, and they not only took us kids to church, but taught us our whole lives by their example. I can't remember a time when I did not know that God is the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. I have always been a believer in my heart. My mom and dad worked hard to provide a nice home, focused all their spare time on creating a healthy, happy family. We always celebrated birthdays, and Thanksgiving, Christmas, and other times as a family. However, I was never satisfied. My blessed life wasn't good enough for me. I was always wanting excitement, to do the very things I was taught not to do, and I'd betray my great parents in so many ways. Thankfully, along with our Lord, they never gave up on me. Even though I'd promised to change, to clean up my act, you know, to do the right thing this time, I'd always return to my rebellious self-destruction in a short while. Cars were wrecked, relationships destroyed, great opportunities lost. Yet I couldn't change, or I wouldn't. I'd come too far, it seems, and I was really lost. I was being tossed around by the ups and downs of life. I thought I was doomed. In James 4, 2 through 4, we read about the same attitude and thinking that I'd chosen. You want something, but you don't get it. You hate and covet, but you cannot have what you want. You quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world is hatred towards God? Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Well, I found myself in the late 70s, early 80s, fighting more and more against God, all the while trying to get along with the world. I was consumed with hatred and envy, self-pity. all the while trying to fit in to this world. I was looking somehow to get lucky. Yeah, that's it. To continue doing what I wanted, but have everything somehow turn out enjoyable and me successful. Look, I just wanted to be happy. This was what I thought. If I could just be happy, then everything would be great. My problems would be solved. I just need to be happy. I thought I could keep doing what I'd been doing, and miraculously, I'd have different results which would make me happy. Right? That miracle never happened. Misery and depression were my companions. Anger at everything and everybody fueled my days, and booze and drugs and sex was how I escaped from myself and the knowledge that I hated who I'd become. I'd carried a knife for years now. I added a loaded revolver next to my pint of whiskey under the seat of my car. Many of the people I associated with were crazy and dangerous. Once, while trying to rip the back door off of a drug dealer's home at 3 a.m., okay, it's 3 a.m., and the lights were off, so nobody was home, right? Made sense at the time. I looked up in a drunken stupor and saw him pointing a pistol at my head, and he probably would have shot me, but he didn't want the police to show up. I'd switch cars around to confuse the police or anybody with a grudge. Several times I'd outrun the police. Many times they'd stop me. I liked to be on the move, so I drove drunk and high all the time. I liked to drive fast, so it was only by God's grace and mercy that I didn't kill myself or others. And somehow I'd avoid jail and prison, again, God's great mercy. Even though I tried selling drugs to make money, it didn't pan out for me, so I'd had a string of jobs from hospital emergency room. Wouldn't you want me, you know, taking care of you in the emergency room? Yeah, no kidding. To carpentry and cabinet making. I'd learned the woodworking skills from my dad as I worked alongside of him for years. I'd always work with him high. Many times hungover, sometimes even drunk. In Romans, Paul spells out clearly how outcomes and consequences in life are really determined. For he, God, says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. God has always been so merciful to me, and I can't emphasize this enough. Many times I wondered, how could God let something bad happen? But I'd fail to think about the many, countless more times that he prevented the bad from happening. He was always protecting me from myself. I found myself in 1982 living in a Tualatin apartment with my girlfriend and crazier than I'd ever been. Yeah, she was the last in a long string of women that I'd been with over the years. I'd use women to gratify my ego and for sex and to hang out with me in my mind-numbing lifestyle. I was miserable, trying to shut out the world by isolating with her, staying drunk, high, pretending that it would all work out somehow, someday. Really, I've been chasing this elusive someday all my life. Even from my childhood, I'd always been discontented and always chasing after something else to satisfy myself. Nothing had ever seemed good enough. My family, my girlfriends, my cars, my job, my health. My life had always seemed temporary as I rushed headlong towards that someday. Of course, back then I had no idea that God was preparing me and that he would use this very misery, heartbreak, guilt, and failure, and depression to bring me back to him. I had to hit my bottom to be utterly defeated. Back then, even though I'd never admit it, I knew deep down inside that it was over. I'd created devastation all around myself by following my own ways, and I didn't know what to do next. I'd run out of options, and I was very weak. In March 1983, I was a truly broken man, and he, my creator and savior, set in motion my redemption. I was right where I needed to be, and he went to work to rescue me. Today, as I read the Bible, I see clearly all through Scripture in dozens of places the exact description of the conundrum I back then found myself in, and how God uses all of our pain and misery to bring us back to Him. By the way, reading the Bible has been the major way that God's taught me and changed me over the last 12 years. Prior to 2005, I hardly ever opened a Bible, but now I do so almost daily. In March 1983, I was invited to go see this counselor in downtown Portland by my mom and sister. I agreed more than anything to satisfy them. Yes, I'd seen a few counselors over the years. So why not one more dead end, I thought. They'd been waiting for me to come off of a binge, knowing that I'd be more agreeable at that point. Well, surprise, this counselor was an intervention specialist. And I was intervened before interventions were cool. This guy went on to write books to train all the other interventionist guys, so he was good. Even though my old nature said to run, something stronger pulled me forward into recovery. And I know now it was God. I would spend the next month in a downtown Portland treatment center where the AA program was used. And on day three, something about the day three. Yeah. On day three, I surrendered myself to God's care and started working the 12 steps for the first time. I gave up all my fighting and struggling. I turned the whole mess that I'd created over to God, trusting that He'd make it right. He did exactly what I asked Him to. When I submitted to God, admitted my wrongs, and humbly asked Him, He immediately solved what had been for me impossible. On April 16th, 1983, I walked out of that center a free and forever changed man. As of this last April 16th, I have been continuously clean and sober for 34 years. Yeah. Thank you. Just to be completely clear, continuous sobriety, being clean and sober, is not using anything for the purpose of getting high from a sobriety date to today. Not a sip, not a toke, not a pill, nada. Today is 12,597 days of that for me. Pretty crazy. Before entering that treatment center, I'd been sitting on the throne of my life. Yeah, thinking I was running the show. But I'd come to a dead end. The gates of hell, some call it. I was self-destructing. I couldn't stop myself. What happened? How did I suddenly become a different man, seemingly with new self-control and respect? Alcoholism, drug addiction, and all my selfishness and self-centeredness had definitely prepared me for God to do what only He can do. I know now my someday had finally arrived, and I now understand that it's today. One day at a time, each new day is my someday. It's finally here. I'd give up the throne at the beginning of each new day, and I'd ask Jesus Christ to resume lordship over Kent. Each day I would surrender. I gave up trying to run the show. I was putting myself first and excusing my obedience to sin. Sin had made me its slave, and I'd served it faithfully for years. But God had mercy. He saved me. He restored me, and He changed me. I began attending AA meetings, working the program diligently, consistently. I did the work and made staying clean and sober my top priority. As a result, the Holy Spirit began to transform my whole being and my life. After I was sober a year, I married the Tualatin girlfriend, and we had three children, but after 20 years of marriage, she left our family. We divorced, and with sole custody, I became a single dad for my kids in 2002. In sobriety, I would experience my mom and dad going home to their Lord. The close relationships with my two brothers and sister ended in hard feelings, bitterness, finally no relationships at all. In January last year, 2016, my youngest brother passed away. He's a 55-year-old. In the process of coming together for his memorial, my other two siblings and I started to have some relationship again. Then September, My other brother died. Within 9 months, I said goodbye to both my brothers. They were 55 and 57 years old. The point being that life certainly hasn't become any easier in sobriety. Nope. But I have received God's comfort, protection, strength, and direction in responding to many very difficult, heartbreaking events. Now, I became a real estate broker in 1986, and over the years I've helped many families to buy or sell their homes. In the process of selling a home to a single lady, I met Jenny. And I'd consigned myself to remaining single at that point. I certainly wasn't looking for a girlfriend, but God had other plans. And after dating for 7 years, Jenny and I were married February 2011, and a couple of you were there. Now, we were actually married out by the fountain here, if you guys know where that is, out in the atrium. And I know David and Judy were there, and they played. And it's fantastic. We'd begun attending Rolling Hills in Tualatin, Oregon, in late 2005, and it was there I found my way into CR. I walked in the back door of the back room. How many know where the back room is? You've been around here a little while. It's way in the back of the church. Let's call it the back room. And I walked in, and I heard God say, "This is for you." God told me, "This is where I want you." Anyway, I hit the ground running, and I haven't looked back. I found my ministry along with an important mission. You should know I'd spent a lifetime going to church, quote. The church body I left before coming to Rolling Hills, I'd been at for 18 years, but I didn't have one guy I could call a friend. I'd never been involved in any ministry other than making sure my kids were involved in many. Through my involvement in CR today, I have many good friends, brothers and sisters in Christ from all across America. I started out by joining a step study and then co-leading and leading a men's open share and step study groups. I became the simulator coach right here at Rolling Hills. I attended the yearly summit in Lake Forest, California for the first time in 2007. This year at the West Coast Summit was my 10th year of summit. Yeah. I know, man. I love it. I just love it, man. I just love this ministry. Over the years, I've sponsored many men. One, Greg Foster, who's sitting right over there with a white hat on. He had served some time in a prison in another state. Remember now, everybody, he gave me permission to share this. So, and he's here to vouch for that, I hope. But he wanted to do a prison or jail ministry here in Oregon. And he and I set out to find some answers. And interestingly, while I was helping him, God called me into the CR Inside ministry where I now serve. Now, Greg has since that time continued his recovery. He became the encourager coach right here at Rolling Hills CR. He just celebrated 11 years, clean and sober. On July 10th. Is that right? Today he's come inside of Oregon's prisons to share his experience, strength, and hope along with other community CRs from here to North Carolina to Hawaii. Greg has created a booming painting business and was recently married to his lovely wife, Allison. So. In March 2010, I was named the Oregon CRI rep, state rep. At that time, there were zero official correctional celebrate recovery groups in Oregon. And today we have over 30. Yeah. I've shared my testimony as I am here today with inmates attending CR Inside in many prisons and jails. I personally lead our weekly CR group for men at the Washington County Jail in Hillsboro, Oregon, and I fill in elsewhere as needed. Many times I talk to people that are new in CR and they're new in recovery and they're hoping they can get straightened out so that they can return to their real lives. Yeah, I know, and I understand what they're saying, but I don't think they get it, because you see, recovery is a lifestyle, a real and meaningful new life. I love to meet people new or people in CR. These are amazing gatherings of real and transparent Christian men and women. What we call recovery is referred to in Christian circles as sanctification and discipleship. That's just what we call recovery. Same thing. It is the applying my faith in Jesus Christ to everyday life, healing from hurts, hang-ups, and habits, and forming a new healthy lifestyle, especially regarding my relationships. The Celebrate Recovery program involves me in a process where the Holy Spirit can change me and transform my attitudes, my heart, my actions, and my life. I've seen many lives transformed and heard their testimonies. I've watched smiles return to sad faces and hope return to troubled eyes. Today I'm appreciated and of value to many. My train wreck of a past is being used by God to serve others. I've never experienced a better way to live or had a better time doing it. Life in recovery through Jesus Christ is life worth living. A few years ago, I was down at South Fork Forest Camp. Does anybody know where South Fork is? It's down by Tillamook, about 30 miles inland, up in the Coast Range. Beautiful place. And there was a resource fair there that we were putting on for the inmates. And it was a beautiful sunny day, and I stopped to talk to two men who were inmates there. And South Fork, like I say, it's an unfenced prison camp. And there's about 200 inmates there, and deer wander through the yard, and they're taught to fight forest fires if needed. And they probably are down in California, maybe, I don't know, maybe. So I asked them, these two inmates, right? I was having a good time, it was sunny. Hey, are you guys having fun? And all of a sudden, it dawned on me what a stupid question that was. As they looked back at me, and one said, well, not that much. As I walked away, I started thinking about how even though I was free to leave whenever I wanted, I'd chosen, along with several others, to spend my Saturday in that prison. And I could have gone to the beach or out to play softball or many other things, but I was enjoying visiting those guys inside of a state prison. The one thing we all have in common is time. We all have 24 hours. Time is the great equalizer, and we may be different in many ways, but each of us has the exact same amount of time. It doesn't matter where we are or where a person is physically. Whether we're in a jail cell or on top of a mountain, we all have the exact same amount of time and the exact same closeness to God. Access to God then is like time, something we are all equal in no matter where we are. Today there are thousands of men and women locked up in prisons and jails, and they, like all of us, are afflicted with hurts and habits and hang-ups. Celebrate Recovery Insight is committed to offering these inmates a specific program and process to put God to work solving their issues. CR Insight volunteers are like missionaries behind the chain-link fence and razor wire. We bring hope to those who live there, and we invite them to join our healthy family here in Celebrate Recovery. Once released, our community CRs offers the best opportunity for the re-entering recovering Christian to establish a relationship with the church body, to form new friendships, establish accountability, and find a new home like many of us have. Celebrate Recovery Insight is building a bridge from the correctional CR to the community CR. And I'm convinced that some of the men and women currently behind bars will be the future leaders in our CRs, our churches, and our communities. Brian Marty, where's Brian? Where's Brian Marty? He was a soft-spoken one that was up here earlier. After a lifetime of trouble and incarceration, found his way into a CR step study at Columbia River in Portland. He'd never even heard of CR. And God broke through into Brian's heart and mind during that step study. And his life has taken a new direction. 360 degrees, in Brian's own words. Brian contacted the As-Is CR in Southeast Portland and was encouraged to attend there, which he did. And Brian has since that time become a leader at As-Is, both in the CR and the church. Brian has shared his testimony at many CRs, the CRI Quarterly, the CR One Day up in Redmond, Washington. And Brian recently received special clearance at that same CR, or that same Columbia River Correctional Institute, where he'd recently released to share his testimony in there. Woo! Yeah. Afterwards, he walked out a free man and went home. It was an emotional night. Brian is an inspiration to all who meet him. In 2016, he attended his first West Coast Summit with over 3,000 of his new forever family. Hector Lozano called you a satisfied customer. I always loved that. I always loved that. Isaiah writes, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" And I'd like to ask you for your help tonight, if you have the approval of your ministry leader. We need dedicated Celebrate Recovery men and women with a minimum of 1 year's sobriety in the recovery area and who have been through a CR step study to be volunteers facilitating correctional CR groups. I know Kent Bowen here is really needing a couple of guys to step up and help out with the step study that we've been running out there. Chris Stark and some of the other guys have been running. Daniel, Brent, I think. I don't know who else. Paul Arrow. Paul Arrow back here by the Paul. If you have any interest in helping us, whether you're a gal or a guy, please start with Paul Arrow. Paul, will you raise your hand? Paul is our CRI coordinator here at Rolling Hills, and he will, if you're a gal, put you in touch with a lady, and if you're a guy, he'll help you to get going. But in any event, thank you. But please hear this. We also need volunteers serving right here at your home CR group on the CRI Welcome Home team. And I'm going to ask Paul if one of these days we can have a nuts and bolts session here at Rolling Hills to go over all the details and answer questions. I also want to meet all those who want to learn more about this exciting and important ministry and become involved right here, not going to the jail or the prison. You may not want to do that, but be right here to be able to write a letter or to serve when somebody comes in as a newcomer, or maybe to invite the inmate's family to bring the kids over. You know, because I know you have child care here, right? And anyway, that would be great. If you could help out in that way, that is just as important as going to the jail or the prison, and more so in a lot of ways. As you may already know, CR Insight has started partnering with Prison Fellowship, both in their Angel Tree program and adding CR groups in their prison academies. And the CR outreach to God's children who are incarcerated and their families living right here in our community is obviously a ministry we all can do. And Paul has information on Angel Tree. I don't know if you're going to do it this year, but in any event, that's something that we really hope that we can get involved in the future, either this year or next year, and providing presents for children whose dad or mom or both sometimes are locked up. And we could have a party, or, you know, there's a lot of ways to do it. But anyway, talk to Paul if you're interested in that. I just wanted to mention that. CR is the most effective Christian ministry to the incarcerated. And I was going to read from a letter, but I didn't bring it, of course. But anyway, there was a letter that came out of a correctional captain down in Folsom Prison who basically just loves Celebrate Recovery and has said that this program actually, for those guys who have participated in the program at the Sacramento Correction Center in Folsom, has a 100% success rate with none of those participants returning to prison. It's unheard of, yeah. Please plan on joining us right here at Rolling Hills CR to help build CRI team. When we see an inmate's life take a new healthy direction, it's not only them, but it affects their whole family, their children, and their grandchildren. Rick Warren said, "Celebrate Recovery is the clearest expression of the church in action of America today. Here at the Rolling Hills Celebrate Recovery, you're definitely a part of the Celebrate Recovery revival. Thank you so much. I'm honored to have been here with you tonight. May God bless you as you walk with him in your recovery. Hopefully, along with me, you will choose to make today your someday."